the Ways and Means Committee, we do have a quorum present. Representative Mansell, would you care to move the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the minutes have been moved. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Almost called on Representative Hornstein.
But here at the table.
No, I, you and I have had that discussion.
Yes.
A teaching approach. Okay, we have House File 3169 by Representative Metza is up this morning. Representative Metza, I move that the House File 3169, the second engrossment be recommended to be placed on the general register. And I know you have an amendment. So do you want to begin with, because it's a strike everything, I assume you want to have me move the amendment then, and then you'll explain it?
Yep, so, thank you, Mr. Chair.
I will move the A14-1163 mm-hmm. amendment, and if you could explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, the amendment to House File 3169 actually only comprises of a few small changes, and you'll see in your handouts I've given you a comparison between the House file and the Senate file where it highlights that language and or the language differences, and you can see on page 2 on 2.27 there's a change from council to board. On 2.36, there's some additions of the word the, and a few more changes down at the bottom on 3.25 and 2.6 that were highlighted. And basically, I just wanted to let you know in the delete all, there wasn't a substantive change to the bill. More so just lining up with the Senate language in hopes that we could concur and send something off the floor and get the Senate to concur.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment? As he explained it, when you say strike all, that sometimes implies more than what you've explained is in it.
Correct.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Metza, anything more on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members,
as amended.
As amended, this bill is basically the enacting language and for the constitutional amendment we passed last year, which would give our authority to set our own pay to an independent citizens council that would prescribe it for us with appointments from both the governor and the chief justice. And this is the enacting language, and it is also picks the title of the amendment. And it's been through quite a few committee stops. Most of it was debated last year, and so I'll stand for any questions.
Okay, any discussion on the bill? Representative Holberg was first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Metza, so what the delete all amendment we put forth, what differences of... are in the delete all that didn't go through committee last year?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg. The difference would be, and more so in the changes we're doing this year, altogether, the delete all had just a few small technical language changes for the most part, and I thought they might not be deemed quite technical, changing the word from council to board, etc. But the overall changes in the bill, I think the question you're asking is what changed from last year, and we set the title for the amendment and created some of the enacting language in there that you'll basically see in the original House file. Some of those changes would have been the spouse of a current legislator struck and had the exclusion list. and a few of the other concerns that were taken up throughout the committee hearings in between from other members.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair.
You represent Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have several questions I'd like to ask Representative Metza. First off, where would the funding for this come out of? Does this come out of the general fund then, or does this come out of the House and Senate budgets, the funding for this portion?
Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson, the funding for the council for the salaries?
The salaries. When the council decides the salaries, where does that money come out of?
It would be coming out of our general budget in that comes every year for the basic government functions.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Can you tell me, with the date being March 31st, how will this be accounted for in the budget forecast?
The date for...
So you have, Mr. Chair, Representative Metza, in your bill as proposed, your constitutional amendment, you have the dates for the salaries to be prescribed on March 31st. So assuming that the council waits until March 31st to issue their new salaries... how does that get accounted for in the budget forecast?
Representative Metz, we have one of the fiscal analysts here if you'd like to have her comment about the budgeting and the forecast.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would defer to our analyst on that.
Mr. Chair and members, the bill itself does not contain an appropriation or a base adjustment, so at this point we wouldn't be counting any additional costs, and they wouldn't be included in the forecast. You do see estimated costs in the fiscal note, and that those are informational to say if this passed, this is what we think the cost would be. And for the LCC costs, which are the member expenses, I'd expect that they would then, if this amendment passed, come back to the legislature in a future budget session and ask for that additional funding. And the LCC is funded through the general fund.
And
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Metza, in Rules Committee, the question I asked you is if the legislature has the ability to ignore the recommendations of the council that is determining these salaries, specifically if we're in a budget bind, if we would be able to cut those salaries, and your response was that no, we would not be able to. And so, Ms. Roberts, my concern is if we don't have a forecast for this, we don't know really, you know, how much is this going to ding the budget, how do we manage this from a fiscal perspective?
Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, I think it would be up to the House itself, House controller, working with House leadership to develop a budget that would deal with any salary changes. But again, because this doesn't include an appropriation, we're not providing any new funding for it, so we wouldn't be tracking that.
And Mr. Chair and Ms. Roberts, and it's your assumption as well, we would not have the capability to ever cut the salaries if we wanted to as a legislative body, unlike any other state budget that we have.
My take on that would be that we would have to, when we deal with the House budget, we make an appropriation, and what would ultimately be paid to members would have to be based on whatever we appropriated. So the scenario you're laying out there, and then we run across this periodically in state government where you'll pass a bill, but if there isn't an appropriation to meet that, then that has to be adjusted by a state agency or whatever, and we would have the same situation with the House and with the Senate when we deal with it. Representative Holberg has probably had the same experience I've had. When we're putting the budget together, we work on, and our staff and I'm sure your staff, when you're in the majority, prepared a budget for the House. The Senate does the same thing, and then that's carried in the State Department's bill. So that's the way the budgeting process would take place. And if the money was not there, I don't think you could cut the checks. But
well, Mr. Chair and Representative Metza, because this is a constitutional amendment, If we did that, would we be in violation of not upholding the Constitution? Would we be taking an act that is unconstitutional and that would be challenged by the courts? Can you tell me if we would be subject to that?
I think I would, Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, I think I'd defer to our legal counsel on that. You know, anything we do here at the legislature, if it's changing a law and or going in and doing something, we could be in violation. However, if it were a drastic, you know, circumstance for the state budget-wise, I'm sure that we would figure some way out of doing that the right way. And there's no current law in place that requires you to take your salary either. So if you ever felt that it was too much, you could forego taking part of that.
Mr. Chair, if Mr. Sullivan can help us out, if the legislature were to not fund the salaries as prescribed in this constitutional amendment, that the authority is given to that legislative council in the Constitution, would we be in violation of the Constitution?
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, my colleague Mark Shepard is at the table. He has been working on the bill and probably be in a better position to respond to your questions.
Mr. Shepard, would you like to, did you hear the question?
Yes. Mr. Chair, members, Representative Anderson, Mark Shepard from House Research. First of all, just to clarify that the 2013 legislature proposed the constitutional amendment, so that is done, and it will be on the ballot in 2016. Representative Metz's bill is, as he indicated, adding a title and changing the proposed text, but the amendment already by action that you took last year is proposed. The amendment that the legislature proposed to the voters last year provides that this council will prescribe the salaries for legislators, so there will be no ability for the legislature to change those salaries up or down. And so if there were, if there were a budget crisis, it would be, I guess, perhaps similar to what would happen now if there were a budget crisis. You can't reduce the salary of judges because there's a constitutional prohibition against that. The legislature would need to deal with that budget crisis in a different way. They could reduce the appropriation to the legislature generally, but not the salaries prescribed by the council.
So I was not correct when I said it. When we were setting the House budget, if the money was not there, we would still have to provide it within whatever number of dollars were in the House budget, is what you're saying.
Mr. Chair, I think you were correct that the legislature would, as you indicated, knowing what salaries the council had prescribed on March 31st, would set the House budget and the Senate budget accordingly. But I don't believe a legislature could change the salaries that had been prescribed by the council. It would be different than the current situation today if the voters approved the constitutional amendment.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Chair, I have one follow-up question, and then I promise I'll be done, at least for a little bit. Mr. Shepard, so this basically we're setting up a system where you pay yourself first, and said this will be the pay your legislator first. So in this circumstance, then we have no options of cutting it. And doesn't this make us unique as far as all the other states that do this? They all have the flexibility as a legislative body to actually cut the salaries if they wish. Doesn't that make Minnesota the only state that is allowed to that is not allowed to make adjustments based upon our budget situation?
Mr. Shepard, but you have
Mr. Chair and members, I received some information from NCSL, which I can't, it's in color here, so I really can't photocopy it easily, but the states that are in yellow here are, according to the NCSL data, ones where the commission sets the salaries, so California, Washington, Idaho, Oklahoma, it appears that there are commissions in those states that prescribe salaries.
And I know that in California, with a commission that prescribes the salary, though, it's not set in their constitution, so California has made efforts when they've had a budget crisis to cut those salaries. They start, of course, at $120,000 or more. But this would make Minnesota unique in that that we would be the only state that we do not have the flexibility to cut our salaries at all. So that's it. Thank you.
Representative Loom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think most of my questions were addressed by Representative Anderson, so I'll pass.
Okay. Representative Holbert. Representative Abler.
Well, thanks. And maybe my question's for Mr. Shepherd. So this is already on the ballot. I remember in 2007, we passed a transportation bill that the Governor Plenty vetoed, and it had a constitutional amendment authored by Representative Earhart at the time, which then went forward, and everybody was kind of surprised that that would actually be the surviving fragment. If you remember that, that was this kind of a little novelty out of that bill and the whole discussion around transportation funding. Because of the people were a little relaxed about the language of it because they figured the bill was going to be vetoed. And so there was heroics being undertaken by various people to try to change that up to 40-60% and all that with the transit. And it was deemed that we could not change the words of that constitutional amendment. All these, that's what the King's Horses and King's Men said at that time. So, Mr. Shepherd, can you comment about that in this bill, and can we actually change something that's already been put forward?
Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chair and Representative Abler, I think the answer is unclear in the situation that you referenced. I believe the Attorney General wrote a letter to Representative Holberg, I think, who had asked a question about whether the ballot question could be changed. At the time, we had done some research in-house research and reviewed other cases from other states and concluded that the legislature likely could change the ballot, the language of the proposed constitutional amendment, and the Attorney General's opinion, I believe, suggested that that was not possible. So I don't think it's absolutely clear.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
And then maybe Mr. Shepherd to ask another question. So let's say this goes forward and Representative Metza attempts to change the language of the amendment. Who will say you can't? Will somebody have to bring a suit to challenge the changing of the words, or would the Supreme Court intervene in its own and say, no, we can't do that, or what would be the... I'm just curious, because this was... People didn't like the language of the 07 amendment. It was clumsy and not clear, and yet it went forward exactly as we could discuss that a while. Mr. Representative Beard is smiling at the memory of that whole thing. But just a comment, so to guide people who are interested in this topic. Thank you.
Representative Metza.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Abler, I think that if there were a change after the amendment had passed, that's when I'd really start to worry that we didn't do the work that we're doing right now and getting into the shape needs to be in. We're adding a title that was left off last year in this again, and a few other small language changes to match up with the Senate language in this amendment.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll just stop for my final thought here. I raise it as a concern. This is your project. I think I voted no last time. I'll probably vote no on this one. And so the Constitution is not something you just dabble in, and we've had discussions about legislating by the Constitution and examples where states have chosen to do this without a constitutional amendment, and that might have been the better way to go. But so it's just interesting that people on both sides of constitutional arguments say it's probably not a good way to legislate. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Metza is chief author of this bill. Is it your intent that legislative salaries could never be adjusted downward in response to a budget problem or a downturn in revenues? In other words, as this is characterized, the legislators are guaranteed their pay no matter what because it's in the Constitution. Is that your intent as chief author of this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, no. I think that the commission would be meeting regularly and able to convene should we be in a state of emergency and have a severe budget crisis. I think they would be fully capable of dropping our salaries at any point in time within the parameters that we've given them. They could also decrease our salaries as well as increase. So.
But this,
Mr. Chair, Representative Metza, not very often are legislators gung-ho about giving their power and authority to another board, and so you're basically tying the hands of the legislature in reacting to budget situations you may be faced with a situation where across systems there's either a freeze or even a reduction in pay to state workers and other entities funded by state dollars. And unless this council would act, the legislature would, it sounds like, would have no power to react.
That was just a comment, or were you looking for a response from Representative Metz?
Well, I'm just a little surprised that he would defer. You know, your response to my first question was, well, the council could decide. But again, are you comfortable giving all that power and authority to an elected council or board and taking it out of the hands of the legislature?
Representative Metz.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, I think it's been some time since the legislature's actually addressed pay, and would trust a council more so than us at this point to take care of the issue. It seems to become quite political every time it comes up. And kind of the point here is we have a legislative compensation council in place already that we have not listened to recommendations for many years. And I figured in looking at the history on the topic, if you go back a few years, this was a very, very similar approach that was taken by a previous legislature. And, you know, we modeled it off of that, hoping that some of the work that had been done there would have support in some of the same places. And so in working on this, I remember when we started, Representative Garofalo was involved helping out getting it in the shape it was in. I know he's taken his name off the bill since. But overall, we tried to build something that would take care of an issue for us that was becoming a political divisive, I think, or politically divisive by both parties.
I've got a question of Mr. Shepherd. We're using the word salary when we talk about employment, or in this case, legislative compensation. Now, is there a division here in terms of the power of the compensation council between salary and compensation? Because we all serve here and there are various fringe benefits and per diem. So if you had a budget crisis, what would the authority of the legislature be relative to compensation if they were setting salary in terms of, I think the concern that some are expressing is that we would lose our ability to adjust the House budget due to salaries being permanent. So if you could comment, if you're prepared to, on that, or if you could do it at a later time, if not. And the other thing I just remind members is, as Mr. Shepherd pointed out, this is already on the ballot. This was passed. We're dealing with the enabling legislation. So good questions, but they are questions that fit well within the discussion last year before it was placed on the ballot. But Mr. Shepherd?
Mr. Chair and members, as you indicated, Mr. Chair, I believe there is a distinction between salaries and other elements of compensation. And if you look on the document that you adopted today, the Delete Everything Amendment, the A14-1163, on page 3, lines 21 to 23, This is the language of the proposed constitutional amendment that you proposed to the voters last year. But you'll see it says the council must prescribe salaries by March 31st, taking into account any other legislative compensation. So I believe my reading of this is that the council would be prescribing salary and that other elements of legislative compensation could still be established by other means.
Yeah, and so for example, members, you may recall when we were last going through the budget crisis, per diem was adjusted downward. there would be other ways to balance the House budget. You also have committee budgets that are before the legislature, and those were adjusted downward historically when the House was having financial difficulties. We made sure that we felt the equivalent pain, in fact, even beyond what state agencies and so on were feeling when we were dealing with negative numbers, both when we were in the majority, when I chaired the Finance Committee, and when the Republicans were in the majority the last couple of years. So we have adjusted the House budget accordingly, and if that was the concern. So I think we have to keep that in mind. We do need to adjourn in about 10 minutes or so, because the floor will go into session at 10 o'clock. Representative Kahn, you're next.
Yes. Just a question for fiscal analyst. What proportion of the state budget is legislative salaries? You can get back to us with that. Like 0.1%?
Less than
0.01%? Just checking what the discussion of this.
Mrs. Polkaff reminded me, I used the term adjourn, we're going to recess, she reminded me, because we're going to be taking up another bill later today. Okay, we've got Representative Nornes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think the original question I have has pretty well been answered. It had to do with per diem and housing and the other things that that go into our total compensation. But I guess just a comment that it seems sort of strange to me that the legislature is willing to take on some really controversial issues without hesitating, but we do not dare talk about compensation. It just seems odd to me. That's my comment.
I would just say, Representative Nornes, some of us have been here long enough where we have taken it on. My first term, literally.
Yes.
Mr. Chair.
And your first term as well.
Yes, and the we passed it with great difficulty, and then the governor vetoed it, you remember.
That's right. I heard stories about the discussion between the Speaker of the House and the governor at that point in time.
Mr. Chair, can I make one additional comment?
Okay.
I need to take responsibility maybe for the stagnant increases that we've had, because it stopped happening when I was elected in 1997. So, I'm sorry about that.
Well, you can always revisit your position. Okay, Representative Abler.
Well, just to the fiscal note, did you discuss this before? Were there increases in the funding, or is it just here because the old one had costs?
Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair and Representative Abler. Yes, the fiscal note has two pieces to it. The $2,000 you're seeing on the front page is related to the bill that passed last year, and that's the estimated cost for a constitutional amendment. We did not provide additional funding for that. That would be, the state costs would be absorbed by the Secretary of State, and the local governments would absorb those costs. The other piece is the $15,000 showing in the LCC portion, which is the estimated cost for the member expenses for this council. And again, because this is contingent on the approval of the constitutional amendment and the bill itself doesn't include an appropriation or a base adjustment, we're not tracking additional spending for it. It's just informational.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I was just happy to come up with a question that addressed the topic of the committee, so thanks.
Any other discussion? Okay, if there is none, I will renew my motion that House File 3169, the second engrossment as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Ms. Conley, would you, before we recess, explain what the process through the day will be relative to this committee?
Okay. Members, when the meeting was posted, we were supposed to meet after session adjourned, but I've got some additional information, and we're going to recess the floor so Ways and Means can come back, and apparently that's in later afternoon. So 1 hour after session recesses, Ways and Means will come back in room 200.
And that will be the medical marijuana bill we will be taking up at that time. And the House budget resolution. Representative Holder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this the first House recess? It's my understanding we're going in at 11 and recessing for caucus. Mm-hmm. And so do you view that this will be like at noon or 1, or it'll be like the second recess of the House? Okay.
Later.
Representative Blonsky.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to know on the medical marijuana bill, are we taking testimony as testimony was taken in rules for several hours, or are we just looking at the numbers?
Well, we generally, the way we operate with this committee is the testimony has been taken in previous committees. Any member can ask a member of the audience if they have a particular question, but we'll probably be operating the way we generally do.
And Mr. Chair, that was the way we used to operate in rules too, but several hours later after people as far away as Colorado testified. So if those people wish to be called down, then we will be taking testimony from individuals if they're called down by members.
If you're present in the audience and you have a question of that person, we've generally when Representative Holberg was chair and when I've been chair, we've generally entertained those questions. I remember when we had a labor bill, Representative Holberg, because some of us had some questions, we had the person come forward, or a person representing the labor community at that point in time. So that's something we've generally done.
Mr. Chair, I'm just trying to understand the amount of time we might be spending on the so-called...
Well, I can't predict the number of questions that may come up.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Holberg.
I don't know if you know this, but to what degree is this delete all amendment different than what was heard in rules?
There is some significant change that they've been working on. I think we're going to post that as soon as the... Oh, was it posted now? Now they've got it posted. Okay.
And if I might...
Quite frankly, I was working on another bill, so I haven't had a chance to really... I think it's on my desk, the amendment, when I think about it, and I haven't had a chance to read it through, but there's... It has been posted, so you may want to look at it and see what the significant changes are.
Well, Mr. Chair, I did have the opportunity to look at it last night, and it's chock full of policy ramifications, and it's a little unusual that just rules would hear something that looks like it should go to at least a couple different committees. There's civil and criminal penalties, health issues,
And like I say, if any member has any questions dealing with any of the issues that are in the amendment, we'll entertain those questions and people will be able to come forward. I mean, we'll have as open a process as possible. Are you asking that people just line up and give us their names and then testify? Or do you want to operate like we usually do? And if you have a question or any other member of the committee has a question, that would be entertained by either staff, other members, the author, or anybody in the audience that would have the expertise on that question.
Well, Mr. Chair, had you not interrupted me, I could have probably stated what my concern was. And I haven't seen a I haven't seen a fiscal note on the delete all amendment, and I'm wondering if that's been posted yet.
Ms. Connelly.
We're still waiting for it, and as soon as we get it, we'll share it.
Yeah, I think it's Department of Health is what we're waiting on, the fiscal note, at least last night.
And Mr. Chair, to that point, if I might, when it becomes available, would you mind sending it out to all Ways and Means members so that we can look at least at the fiscal impact?
We will be doing that.
Thank you.
Representative Abler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just will the motion be to send it to the General Register?
That would
by your knowledge.
That would be the motion. Yeah.
And Mr. Chair, I just would like to object to that. Just between you and me, you're a leader. I may actually vote for this version. It's going a way that seems like a very constructive way, but the Department of Health and people involved in the niche that I represent have concerns that it may not even work. And so if you're going to give people in the hallways the hope that you're passing a bill that actually will accomplish the needs to deal with the seizure, you know, families, et cetera, I don't think it would be unnecessarily a delaying of it to actually properly vet it. I believe that there's enough interest in the House that rules could be suspended to let the bill move with quick times between the Health Committee and perhaps civil law and actually make it a better bill and actually become the version that becomes law. So that's just my concern. Is you're part of your leadership, I'm not, and so that would be my suggestion to you as chair. Thank you.
Well, I understand. There's some of us on this committee were basically tied up over the weekend with the budget bill. But I do know that there was a lot of conversations going on as the amendment was prepared with the Department of Health and others. So if somebody has questions about where the department is or what their concerns are when the bill is before us, I think that would be very appropriate.
Mr. Chair, that doesn't satisfy me at all, but I understand. But I,
well,
for a bill as important as this, not to even try to derail it, just to make sure it's properly done. This is making a farce out of all the committee system that we have, something as high profile and complex as this, where people have actually moved from no to yeses based upon the process, the progress made by your leadership, frankly, in pulling this deal together. Would be commendable, even more commendable, it would actually be a good bill when it's done. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Paymer, did you have any other comments then about the procedure this afternoon? Okay, with that, we're in recess.